Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn. I'm Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me is Adam Kunz. He's head of trading and works with me in portfolio management. So we're kind of in the middle of summer. Today's theme, we're going to talk about money. And I had a flashback. So I went to Whitefish Bay High School. And every study hall, I'd go down into the cafeteria. And this one kid would always put on Pink Floyd, Money. And it was money, get away. Get a good job with good pay and you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab the cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. So money is what we're seeing flowing into the economy, mostly through the Federal Reserve. And we're going to talk about this. However, there's a shortage of money in parts of the economy, which some of these people can't buy football teams. There's this dichotomy that's taking place right now. So the essence of this is we're kind of stuck because the Federal Reserve is the government's about to do the fourth round of stimulus. It sounds like it passed the Senate, or they've come to a deal that they're going to put in front of the Senate. And what I'm reading is it's going to include another $1,200 stimulus package for families, but they're going to remove the $600 extra unemployment.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
So 23 million people at the peak were out of work in June, which was a 14.7% unemployment rate. That was back to April and May. But by June, we had gotten down to 11% unemployment rate with 17.8 million unemployed. And the problem that we're facing right now is this structural unemployment that's going to exist as corporations start to right-size their businesses for a slow reopening of the economy. It's not a V recovery. This is going to be a long recovery. And so systemic unemployment is going to be a theme that we're going to start to see carry out over the next four quarters. And this probably, we expect that this is going to last 5 years. And the best metric we have is coming out of the financial crisis in 2008, we lost 8 million jobs. And it took over 4 years for the economy to generate 8 million jobs to replace it. And this is twice that. So today we're going to talk about some of the earnings that have come out. We're going to talk about municipal bonds and the portfolio models that we're working through. In there also, we got to talk about what's going on in Europe. So why don't we talk about stocks first, and we're going to come back on Europe in a second.
Okay. So yeah, so far earnings have been good relative to expectations. So right now we're running at 75% of companies have beat on estimates. The heavy caveat there is that the bar was extremely low coming into earnings. So just for example, Honeywell beat on earnings, but aerospace was down 27%. Building materials was down 17%. So, you know, overall, the rate of change, earnings not good there. Schlumberger revenue down 48% in North America. They're cutting 21,000 jobs and they took a $3.7 billion impairment charge. Then you had Intel, who on the earnings side, data center was up 47%, but because of supply chain issues, they are not going to be able to release their 7-nanometer chipset for 6 more months. So you can see across earnings here is that because the bar is so low, companies are able to beat. But I think if you just took away that expectation and really looked at earnings, that they are not good at all. United Airlines released kind of similar quarter to Delta, cutting jobs, cutting flights. The shares are now down 63% year to date. So nothing good coming out of industrials and, the aerospace segment.
One analyst called Intel uninvestable.
I mean, it is, because releasing a chipset 6 months late is essentially like not releasing it at all, right?
Oh, it was a free fall. So I've never seen that stock. I mean, it was the worst day in history for that stock. It was down over 18%.
Yeah.
And it's not, this is not one to go chase after.
No, it's not. A couple highlights, though. Microsoft did have a good quarter. Revenues grew 13%. Azure was up 47%. Now, that was a decline of 59% from the quarter previously, but I would say, you know, 47% growth in any tech sector that's mature is phenomenal. So continue to like Microsoft. Xbox was the big hit, up 65%. It's no surprise with people staying at home. Gaming has been a place where we've seen a lot of people go. And then lastly, IBM, kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Dow.
Of Winthrop.
Sure. We have been calling that Red Hat eventually would kind of be the new support for IBM, and we saw that even more so this quarter. Revenues up in the Red Hat sector 17%. So that acquisition has turned out to be a very, very good one, and we think that's going to be really the future of what IBM turns into going forward. So that's it on earnings. This week is very heavy, heavy in industrials, retail. So this is the busiest week of earnings.
And you saw Hershey's is starting to dialogue about Halloween candy sales and trick or treating in a COVID environment. And
I don't know what that looks like.
I think it's a lot of kids dressed like Dr. Fauci. But I think they're trying to shift to a candy sale that where people just have bowls and it's in-house stuff, but the stock was up 5% last week. So we own the bonds. So I don't think we own the stock on Hershey.
That's right, yeah.
So on the before we talk about fixed income, Europe, it's important to note, Europe did approve this 750 euro stimulative package that included euro-denominated bonds. So this is the first time that the European Union is actually issuing debt backed by the members. And it's going to challenge. We've always believed that when they get to this part, it's going to challenge the governance over the European Union, because right now it's just a currency and it's run as a co-op. They don't have common taxing authority. They don't have a common monetary distribution over the allocated funds. So they don't have common debt issuance. You need three things in a federal republic in a federation to have that. And the United States has this, is we have common taxing authority. We have an allocation system for a governance over that taxing authority. We have a common currency, and that allows us to have the debt issuance, the US dollar, that the Treasury has. Europe does not have that. And it does not have an agreement to actually do that, because there are strong economies up in the north, like Austria, the Netherlands, and Sweden. And then there are weaker economies in the south, like Spain, Greece, and Italy. And that dichotomy has created a conflict within the European Union in how it's run fiscally. So they're all required to have budgets that are within 3%. And they have to run, I think, a negative 3% according to the Maastricht Treaty. And the even France right now is out of compliance with that.
Right.
But they've got chronic problems with Italy, Spain, and that's why Greece went into its problems 5 years ago. So that's a big deal. What'll happen is, I think there'll be great demand for euro-denominated issuance. I think it's going to solve the problem temporarily, but the seeds are planted for a fiscal crisis down the road when they can't figure out how to manage it going forward. So I think they've got some work to do on the governance side. They also are dealing with Brexit, which they're still, I don't know if they've extended it, but they had 11 months starting in January. So by December 31st, they have to come to an agreement with Britain on what that looks like. And I think the pandemic has slowed that progress down. And then they came into this with already a weakening economy, this being this pandemic. And so they're really, this is a region around the world that's really struggling. So this debt issuance is really important to it. And we'll see, because they this is their peak travel season. And so a lot of these countries rely on tourism, and it's obviously not there. So we're watching it. We're concerned about it. We're underweight in our models. We're underweight international. We're underweight emerging economies, and we're underweight Europe. So with that, let's talk about fixed income. Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Sure. So just real quick on the Treasury side, we did see rates fall again. So the 10-year is down below 60 basis points. So, and you've seen even home mortgages hit all-time lows. So just across the board, rates are extremely low. We wanted to focus today on the municipal market, where you've seen rates also decline. If you're looking at the short end of the muni curve, you're actually looking at 10 to 20 basis points of yield on treasuries. But overall, in the Bloomberg Barclays Municipal Index, it's right now yielding 1.27% at a duration of 5 years. So hard to find income out there. And especially right now, we're seeing more and more risk, which Greg would dive into a little bit more. But specifically, when you're looking at different sectors of the municipal market, you've got California now yielding 74 basis points, Florida 76. Illinois is by far the widest at 3.08%. That's a 250 basis point spread. So some clear stress there in the spread of those bonds. New York at 85 basis points, Texas at 83. So overall rates are low, but you're seeing some bifurcation in rates depending on the area and the risk that we're seeing and unfunded pensions and other issues across the municipal market. So Greg, what are you seeing and how are you?
So there's two types of municipal bonds, and I'm going to simplify something that's overly complex, and it's not just taxable and tax exempt, but there's really the safe bonds, which are general obligation bonds and essential service revenue bonds like water and sewer. And then there are more complex bonds that are rely on incremental taxes like incremental sales taxes or hospitality taxes, tolls that help to pay the debt service and for the bonds outstanding. Now the problem comes in where when you shut down parts of the economy like sports and entertainment, a lot of the convention centers and stadium bonds that are not backed by the cities that they're in, they're backed by hospitality revenues, they no longer work financially because the revenue isn't coming in to pay the interest payment. So typically what would happen is that either the third-party insurer or an arrangement with the city to make the lease payments or some stopgap measure would step in. And this is happening all over the country now. And the Fed set up a program called the Municipal Liquidity Facility Program as part of the CARES Act. But it's not clear that this is the mechanism that's going to help these stadiums and convention centers. Not to mention there are airports and hospitals. And so, I mean, an airport bond is the fees for the airport bond are basically the payment that the airlines make that was part of the ticket revenue to use to access the jetways. One of the concerns we have is universities. We've talked about higher education, deeply concerned about trends in higher education. Heading into the pandemic, the demographics for college students was declining. So the population of kids between 18 and 22 was already starting to decline. And the pandemic has just accelerated this, where kids can't rationalize the school experience, and schools are having trouble with this too, but the school experience with how do I get kids in the classroom versus an online experience versus collecting revenue and covering all the fixed costs that a college has. So we're seeing across the country 10%. There's some schools that have approached 10% declines or 10% reduction in compensation. Some have started to lay off faculty. They've cut contributions to the 401k. So we're seeing measures to help control costs, but it remains to be seen what the fall semester is going to look like and then how to service this debt. This is not today's problem. However, it's going to start to really reveal itself within the next 6 to 12 months on the university side. So we're watching that as well. So there's a lot going on in this opaque world of the municipal bond market, Adam. Absolutely. All right. So how does this relate to models? Let's talk about our portfolio models and then we'll close it down for the week.
Yep. So in models, we continue to move up in quality. On the equity side, we have continued to increase our allocation to a minimum vol strategies, reducing small cap exposure, reducing just our general basis in large cap as that becomes more and more concentrated in those, you know, big six. And then on the fixed income side, we've begun to move away from credit product and moving more towards mortgage-backed securities, just buying, and this is the high quality agency type mortgage-backed securities. Now, you're not getting a lot of yield, but it is a lot safer than the credit product and more liquid than what we saw back in March where spreads gapped out. And right now, with investment grade spreads at 130 basis points, we're basically back, you know, pre-COVID level. So just not a lot of value in credit, not a lot of upside and a lot more downside. So those are just some of the moves we made so far.
So I asked my kids this weekend, do you want to watch Gone with the Wind? And they were like, why would I want to watch that? It's like a classic movie. It's controversial right now because of some of the social unrest and the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the underlying themes. But Olivia de Havilland passed away. 104 years old. She was one of the co-stars, and one of the nominated for an Oscar that she did not get. She lost it to her co-star for that one. But Regis Philbin, who was not in the movie Gone with the Wind, but he passed away also.
I didn't see that.
I think it was 88 or 83.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not good with numbers. But anyway, we lost two icons. All right, you guys, we're going to end it here. You guys have a great week, and thank you for listening.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.